Okay, so for now, again, we're sharing. Let's take top two sheets, and in a few minutes, everybody should have their own. We would like today, also, we're on a time deadline. We have to leave here by 10 because of this expo that's going on here. It's an elder care expo. So feel free to join, I guess. I don't know if you have to sign up. It's not a Kingsway event. They're just renting from us. We'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevitz for sponsoring this morning's Lots and Learn Le'iloi Nishmas in memory of Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. Okay. Today the goal is to sum up, review, and add a few concluding comments to what we've been doing for the past few weeks. I know there are a few new faces today. Don't worry, we will, in the review, hopefully everything will be clear. Obviously, if you've been here for a bunch of weeks. Okay. Rabbi Toker's Wednesday class will not meet this week. I'll be resuming next week. I will remind you at the end as well. So the five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Again, if you weren't here, we'll review it. Obviously, you were here. You'll probably get a little bit of a better feel for it, but don't worry if you aren't. We'll make it as clear as possible. So, for the backgrounds, for those who aren't, and review for those who were, Mishnah 8 starts off. You have this on page number 1. Again, there'll be more source sheets coming in a few minutes. Page number 1, first big block of sources here is just a review of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, you have it in the Hebrew on the right-hand side, the English on the left-hand side. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai received the tradition. Actually, skip that bullet point, go to the second bullet point right underneath that. Chamisha talmidim ayu l'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five disciples. Who were these five disciples? Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Five disciples. He then went on to give praise to each disciple. Found there. Thank you, Marvel. Okay, so we have some more sheets here. Everybody, anybody not get sheets? Here, could pass these out. Top two. Put some on this side. Top two. And then we're going to get a little bit more complicated, so don't lose me. Here's an additional sheet that none of you have. So everybody take one of these sheets. Yes. Okay. Today is also the yahrzeit of my grandfather, who I am named after, Yechezkel Mordechai ben Yitzchak. So the learning should be in his zechus as well. So five students, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar. Each one of them gets a specific praise from Rabbi Yochanan. The praise is as follows. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanos was a bor sid she'eno ma'abed tipa. He was a plastered cistern which loses not a drop, which is a metaphor for what? Who remembers what does it mean to be a plastered cistern? He has a great memory. Doesn't forget anything that he learns. Okay, so try to remember that. No pun intended. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanos remembers everything. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, his praise is Ashrei Yoladito, praiseworthy is that she who bore him, who gave birth to him, praising his mother. And we'll see what that, anybody remember what that means? She took him to the Beis Medrash, and also he was praised that he was just a good person. He had good midos, so when people saw him, they just said, wow, his mother must have raised him well. So that's number two. Number three, Rabbi Yossi was a chassid, meaning a pious man, not a contemporary chassid the way we use it, but he was very pious. He went above and beyond in terms of his observance of mitzvos. Rabbi Shimon ben Nisana was a yurei chet, meaning he feared sin. He stayed very, very far away from committing any sin. And then finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was ma'ayan ha-mitgaber. He was an ever-flowing spring. And what was that a metaphor for? He was an innovative thinker, very creative. Okay, so those are the five praises. Now, that brings us back like a month ago. Now, what we've been doing for the past month is going through each one of their responses to a question that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked. This is the next bullet point within the same boxes. Mishnah 9 says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told them, Tzu'uru, go out and see, Ezehu derech yeshara sheyidbak b'ha'adam. What is the straight path that a person should cling to? So this is the question he poses to them. Each one of them gives a different answer. What are the answers? Rabbi Eliezer says, an ayin tova, a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua says, and we spent time talking about that, we'll review what that means in a moment. Rabbi Yeshua says, a chaver tov, a good friend. Rabbi Yossi omer shachin tov, to be a good neighbor, or have a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon omer haroes anola, the ability to foresee the future. Rabbi Elazar omer lev tov, to have a good heart. And last week we spoke in depth about lev tov. And then finally the Mishnah sums up and says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai looked at all these answers and says that I prefer the answer, the last answer of having a good heart. Why? Shebechlal dvarav divreichem. Because included in all of the answers that were given is lev tov encapsulates all of the other answers. Just again, this is a recap. I'm sorry if this is overwhelming for you if you weren't here, but we're not done with the recap yet. So if you're not following completely, don't give up hope. Look at the box right underneath this. This is the summary. So this, I think, just gives it visually to everything we've done. And what we want to start doing today is just analyzing it a little bit more. So look at that bottom box, and at the same time, look at the parallel sheet number 3. So not the flip side, but get to the other sheet, the second sheet, right there, these boxes, lots of boxes. Okay, so look at the lots of boxes. Look at the lot of boxes, and at the same time, look at that bottom chart on the first page. So the chart on the first page, in the left-hand column you have their name, in the middle column you have the praise that was given to them, and in the right-hand column, you have the answer that they gave to the inquiry as to what is the straight path. And as we've been mentioning until this point, we want to take a step back and make some questions. Let's ask some questions about this. Right. So is there any methodology in terms of how we should understand either a progression in these Mishnayos? Right. So meaning, is there a connection between starting with that first box, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanis, who's our first person, he has a specific praise that he has a great memory, plastered cistern which loses not a drop, and his answer is, to the straight path, a good eye. So is there a connection along that diagram, along that line? Right. So is the fact that he has a great memory connected to the fact that he has a good eye? So that's what we're going to start trying to figure out today. And then we're going to go through each line. Is the fact that Rishua ben Hananya, his praise was that happy is she that bore him, relevant to the fact that his answer to the straight path is a good friend? Similarly for 3, 4, and 5. Pious man, does it have to do with being a good neighbor? Fearing sin, does it have to do with looking into the future, knowing consequences? Having a great mind in terms of novel creativity, what does that have to do with a good heart? Remember, you don't have to connect these things. You can say these are independent ideas. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai praised his students. Very nice. Now he asked them another question, completely different and irrelevant to the praise, and they gave their answers. So you could just say these are different things. What we're going to show today is that you could also explain that maybe they're connected. Another thing to keep in mind, so we just went horizontally. Now let's think vertically for a second. Is there a connection? Is there a progression? Go to the right-hand column in terms of the straight path, let's say. Is there a progression that each one is better than the previous answer? So the thought experiment that we gave to raise this point in the past was, imagine that the question was posed in a classroom. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asks his students, and the first guy raises his hand and says, I think the answer is a good eye. Right? Now the question is, right, we've all been in a classroom, are you going to raise your hand next if the teacher calls on you? Shouldn't your answer be better, maybe? Right? Is the second student's answer trying to one-up the previous student's answer? So another question to think about is that there is there a progression from a good eye does a good friend have more than a good eye? Does it encapsulate more? Does a good neighbor encapsulate more? Does one who looks into the future, is that a better answer? And then a good heart, is that a better answer? So is there a progression from one to the next? Again, you could argue no, that there's no progression. And they're just giving five different answers, and each one has its own merit, and they didn't try to one-up the next person. But as we'll see, some commentators do say that there is a progression. Okay, so now, let's make it more complicated. If you recall, we did basically a week on each one of these categories, except for one of them we haven't done yet. We might do it next week. We did a week on each one of these categories of Ayin Tova, Chaber Tov, good friend, good eye, good neighbor, etc., to try to figure out what it means. And obviously, as we all know, anytime you look in depth into any source, what are we going to have? Lots of different opinions, machlokes. So now, all of these, the two questions that we've asked so far, we need to, is there a progression vertically or horizontally? We have to know within each commentary, within each answer, does this progression make sense? Okay, so we're not, I know that's a lot to sort of our minds to handle on 9:15, 9:30 on a Sunday morning. So we're not going to go too crazy here, but I want you to just at least think about the fact that this is complex. There are numerous approaches, and each approach is going to have to deal with this a little bit differently. Now the final question to keep in mind is, if you remember from last week, Lev Tov, good heart, and we'll review what that means in a second, is given the stamp of approval by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says that I think this answer is the best because having a good heart incorporates everything. So what we want to understand a little bit, and this is how we left off last week, is what about the other answers? Meaning, if it's so clear that this is the answer, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, is it so clear, I guess? Is it clear that this is the answer? And if it is so clear, why is this different? Why did the other students not give this answer? If Lev Tov, having a good heart, means to be the pinnacle, like the Rambam says, it's the pinnacle of all midos, it's the source of all character, to have a good heart. So if it means the source of all character, how come nobody else said that? Isn't that just the obvious answer? Okay, so let's keep that in mind also. So now, look at that flow chart that you have there. Just a brief review of the different approaches that we've seen. So this is on page number 3. It's numbered on the top. Page number 3.
Excuse me, when it says a good friend, does it mean you should...
Okay, so that's what we're going to review this right now. So look at page 3. Okay, these are all the sources that we've seen in box format. We did more in-depth when we did it, but this is just a summary. So what does a good eye mean? So we saw a bunch of different interpretations. What does a good eye mean? Either satisfied with one's lot, so you're just happy with what you have, you don't need other things. As a corollary to that, to some extent, the Sforno says don't be jealous, which is connected. If I'm satisfied with what I have, I don't have to be jealous of what other people have. The Meiri says, again, a next step to some extent, be happy when good happens to other people. So not just be happy with what you have, not just not be jealous of what other people have, but when good things happen to other people, to be happy for them. All right, that's a good character trait to have. Rabbeinu Yonah says a little bit differently and says that the concept of having a good eye means to want midas hanedivus, magnanimity, to be able to want to give to other people. Not just to be happy when other people get things, but to actually want to actively give over to other people. So that's what a good eye was. What about a good friend? So we had three approaches. Number one was the Meiri, was that having a good friend, why is this the path? Remember, keep in mind, the answer to this question, they're answering the question, why is this the straight path? So a good friend is a straight path, perhaps to character, because they could provide advice for you, they could rebuke you if you do something wrong, they could provide guidance. The Sforno adds in the next box that you could model their behavior. The Rabbeinu Yonah takes a completely different approach and says that it doesn't mean to have a good friend, it means to be a good friend. And by being a good friend, that develops your character. That's the way to the straight path. What about a good neighbor? So similarly, now keep in mind here, in terms of the progression, right? If we're going to say there's a progression, what does a good neighbor have over a good friend? Right? So good neighbor, the Meiri says, is reinforcement. They can tell you when you're doing something good. They can rebuke you if you're doing something bad. And above and beyond, a good friend is that a good neighbor is always there, not necessarily for you, but at least watching you, right? So it's just, you can't just be on good behavior when you're out and about with your friends. You have to be on good behavior even after a long day at work and you come home and you're cranky, but your neighbors are still watching you, okay? Hopefully not too closely. But the point here is that it's not just about a few times during the day. It's a really long-term type of idea. The Rashi says similarly, day and night. Not just during the day, also at night, and you can learn. Either you can learn from their actions, they can learn from your actions. So basically, you have to be on good behavior. And similar to Rabbeinu Yonah's approach from before, where he says we're not talking about having a good friend, but being a good friend. He says same thing here. It doesn't mean have a good neighbor; it means be a good neighbor. We're going to skip the fourth one, which was to look for the future consequences, because I think we're going to do that next week. We didn't go into detail with that, but as of now, we'll just take it at face value that what does it mean to roes anola, to be able to foresee the future, is to know the consequences of actions. What's going to turn out good, what's going to turn out bad, and then avoid it, if possible. And then finally, a good heart is what we did last week, and here's where we're going to jump off of to take it a little bit deeper. So the Rambam says, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, that a good heart means the source of all your character. All of your midos flow from your heart. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't like that answer. Why didn't Rabbeinu Yonah like that answer? Anybody remember? It was too all-encompassing. The question was, give me the straight path, and you're telling me what the goal is. The goal is good midos. It's too. I don't want every midah. I want one midah, and I want one character trait, and you're telling me it's all character traits? That can't be. Rather, he says, it's specific. What does it mean? Good heart is patience. Rabbeinu Bachaya said, do good for others, even if it's at some cost to yourself. And why did he have to say, even at some cost to yourself? I think about it in terms of progression. Because we already had answers that said that you should do good for others. And so that could be incorporated. To be a chaver tov, of course you have to do good for others. So what is he talking about here in terms of doing good for others? Obviously we have to add something here. Doing good for others, even if there's some cost to yourself. Then the Abarbanel finally says good intellect, which sort of flipped everything on its head. And we're going to look in the Abarbanel in detail in a second. Until now we were talking about character. Abarbanel says, what does it mean to have a lev tov? To be smart.
Well, but that's right. Not
anything
you work on yourself.
That's good. We spoke about that a little bit last week. Let's put that to the side for a second and assume that you could increase intellect to some extent. Not completely, but to some extent. Now, all right, so I want to give you, flip to page 2 now. Here's new things. Page 2 is the Abarbanel. So we're going to jump off of that last thing that we just did about the Abarbanel, and we're going to see, survey two different sources. One that's going to show how the character of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, how he praised them, is relevant to what their answer to the question of what the straight path is. So that's going to be the Abarbanel. We're going to see one example of that. Remember, as I said, it's more complicated. We're not going to get more complicated, but we're just keep in mind that it could be more complicated because the Abarbanel is only going to go within his own framework, with his own mindset, with his own interpretations. Once you insert another interpretation, it's going to throw everything off. So we're not going to get crazy here, but just keep in mind that this is just one approach. Then I'm going to show you one more example, not in terms of how they're related to each other, the character versus the statement, but in terms of the progression from how each one builds off of each other. So let's start with this one, the Abarbanel. This is a photocopy from the translation and compilation by Rabbi Abraham Chill. I've showed you the book before. I don't have a copy, hard copy here right now, but it's a good resource to have if anybody wants to learn the Abarbanel. Rabbi Chill summarizes the Abarbanel. Abarbanel, for anybody who's familiar, always sort of talks a lot. So he it's, he could say something in a page, but he says it in 15 pages. But I mean, not that there's no depth and there's no analysis and there's no deeper. But it's, you have to sit down if you really want to learn the Abarbanel.
And you say Rabbi
Chil from here? Not our Rabbi Chil. Rabbi Chil, I thought, is his name Abraham? I thought it was
no.
Samuel Chil. Yeah, different Rabbi Chil. Relative. Could be. I'm not sure. I don't know the family line. But it's not our Rabbi Chil. So the Abarbanel, like his commentary on Chumash, he'll say, I'm going to ask 37 questions, and then I'm going to try to start analyzing it. Right? So Rabbi Chil does us a favor, because he does the same thing in Perkei Avos, and he says, okay, let me distill what the essence is over here. And so it's not just a translation, it's a compilation, it's a summary, etc. And then at the end of each time he quotes something from the Abarbanel, he actually summarizes other commentaries in English. So it's a good resource to have the Abarbanel, Rabbi Chil's compilation and translation on Pirkei Avos. So here, let's just see in our context. So, firstly, he asked them, which is the best trait a person should acquire? So Rabbi Eliezer says, a good eye. Abarbanel does not agree with Rambam, who contends that a good eye means that its possessor is satisfied with what he has. Remember, we saw that in the Rambam, being satisfied with your lot. Instead, continuing, he suggests an ingenious interpretation. All the pronouncements of the five disciples are contiguous to their personalities as viewed by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he connects these two together. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer was compared to a plastered cistern that does not leak or lose even a drop of water. Anything, I want you to think critically if you like this interpretation, anything that is accumulated in that cistern is retained. It is logical then that Rabbi Eliezer would choose a good eye as the best asset a person can have. A good eye's field of vision will include everything within sight and will retain it. When a person is in need of certain information, he will recall all he needs and not a selective, partial recollection because he is like a plastered cistern. Right, so what Abarbanel is saying, let's just be clear, because we didn't do this Abarbanel when we said a good eye. The way Abarbanel interprets a good eye is that you see more and you remember what you see. He doesn't necessarily tie this to character. He doesn't say that makes you a good person. But he says if you have this ability to see and to remember, then that will make you more... Again, we're not talking about character, but a better person overall, because now you're not limited in your scope, right? We all fall into this trap, just to make it a little relevant to us. We all fall into this trap. When we get into arguments with a significant other, with a friend, whoever it is, what do we bring up? One little detail, right? You never take out the garbage. You never do this, right? And if you had a wider field of vision and you noticed more and you remembered more, you now don't or can't, at least if you're honest with yourself, just pinpoint and nitpick on certain things. So a wider field of vision and a good memory could make you a better person because you now have a broader sense of what's going on. You're not just have a narrow field of vision. So I think it's a nice interpretation, but more importantly for now, it connects a good eye to having a good memory. Both of those are relevant according to the Abarbanel. Next, let's do a little bit more. Rabbi Yeshua was lauded with, happy is she who bore him. Why? Because he was such a lovable person. It is therefore natural that he would propose that being a good friend is the most important thing in life. A congenial person seeks out other congenial people as friends and acquaintances. So happy is he who bore him. He's a good guy. People like him. He's very friendly. He'll make good friends. That's why he answers that a good friend is so important. Rabbi Yossi was exclaimed by his master as a chassid. It was therefore natural that he should suggest that the attribute of neighborliness is an asset not to be ignored. It is of the chassid's character that his passionate will to do God's bidding can only be achieved within the collective of society. Lonesomeness and isolation have no place in Hasidic life. Good neighbors and good friends constitute the core of Hasidic living. Meaning, what does it mean to be pious? It means to go above and beyond. It means to go out of my way to be nice to people. So I have to live, shachin here is not just a neighbor, but that's part of it, in a broader society. I have to be able to look out, right? We have an opportunity here, we're part of a community. I have an opportunity to go above and beyond. If I'm not part of a community and I'm in isolation, then I can't do good for other people. So he's saying the broader context of being in a community, in a society, being a good neighbor is what gives you the opportunity to be pious, to go above and beyond. Next, this one's also pretty straightforward. Rabbi Shimon was described as one who fears sin, knowing the consequences of sin and severe punishment for transgressions. It could be expected that Rabbi Shimon would pontificate that the best trait a person can have is to understand the consequences of his actions. Before speaking or doing something, one should think in terms of what will happen in its wake. If I fear sin so much, I'm always going to think about the consequences. So those go hand in hand. Think about the consequences. It's probably going to be bad. Stay away from it. So yirei chet and being able to fear sin, again, fearing sin and the ability to see the future go hand in hand. Now finally, remember, what did the Barbanel say about Lev Tov? What does Lev Tov mean? So we just jumped off of on the other side. Intellect, being smart. So now this is pretty straightforward. Lev Tov, remember, Rabbi Elazar, continuing that last paragraph, it was also inevitable that Rabbi Elazar, who was compared to an overflowing spring, should propose a good heart as the choicest human quality. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai compared him to an overflowing spring, he was referring to the unfathomable well of Torah learning. The heart, according to rabbinic tradition, is the source of all thought, knowledge, and wisdom. A good heart is all that one needs. So here we have a nice summary of what the Abarbanel says, how he interprets everything, and how it fits character and their answer to the question. Remember, not everybody's going to agree with this, because if you say Lev Tov doesn't mean wisdom, you're going to have a bigger problem. If Lev Tov doesn't mean wisdom, so let's just, for an example, and remember, the Rambam doesn't have to go with this progression. If Lev Tov meant, well, let's go with Rabbeinu Yonah for a second. If Lev Tov meant patience, how does patience and being an overflowing spring have anything to do with each other? They don't. And Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't argue that they do. To him, that's not important. To connect the character to the explanation is not important, so he just leaves it alone. He doesn't say anything. Abarbanel fits in each category with the person, with the person's character. One more example on the flip side. Go to the second, the last source sheet, the last minute source sheet I just gave you. The photocopy of, yeah. Somebody hold it up for me. You see it? Good. You're good. You're good. The one-sided sheet that I gave all the way at the end. The last thing you should have gotten. Okay. It should say page 106 and 107. This is a photocopy from another good book to have. This is the Maharal and Perkei Avos. Translated, compiled. Again, it's not a direct translation. It's more of a summary from Rabbi Tuvia Basser, put out by Art Scroll. So here you have on page 106, 107, as he goes through it, and we're going to look now at how the Maharal progresses through. He's going to say that each one is better than the next one. So a good friend is better than a good eye. A good neighbor is better than a good friend. Seeing the future is better than a good neighbor. Good heart is better than seeing the future. So let's briefly look at this. Page 106, he says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ayin Tova, a good eye. A good eye is the quality of being pleased with another's good fortune. Rabbi Eliezer proposes that this quality cultivates goodness most effectively because there are plentiful opportunities for us to practice it. And it takes no time at all to be happy for others' good fortune. Looking around, we can always find evidence of wealth, social position, and other successes. Skip for a second to the bottom of that next paragraph. So same go to the paragraph that starts Rabbi Eliezer, go to the last line in that paragraph where it says Rabbi Yeshua. So it ends off this paragraph saying Rabbi Yeshua, in contrast, Rabbi Yeshua favors the trait of being a good friend because it exercises a higher level of goodness, albeit with fewer opportunities to practice it. So he's contrasting the answers. A good eye gives you lots of opportunities to do good. There's so many things you can look around and say, I want good for you, I want good for you, I want good for you. Good friend, I have less opportunities because it's less people that I'm interacting with in a friendship way. But Rabbi Yeshua says, I'd rather have that because I can do more good. Okay, so continuing, next section here, Rabbi Yeshua says, a good friend is one who gives his friend advice. Rabbi Yeshua considers this practice superior to having a good eye because it engages more of our faculties. The quality of a good eye develops only the faculty of observation, whereas giving good advice also exercises speech. So good eye is looking around, I want good for you, I want good for you, I want good for you. Good friend is, I'm doing good for you, right? I'm giving advice. I misspoke for a second. I'm not doing good necessarily actively. We'll see why that's important. But I'm actually giving advice. I'm speaking. I'm doing something for you in speech. Now, skip to the next thing. Shachin Tov. Being a good neighbor is even better than being a good friend because friendship can be maintained with mere speech. I could talk to you on the phone, etc. Good neighbors are good to each other in deeds. They lend things to each other and actively help one another. Good neighbors also fulfill the other good practices of giving helpful advice and sharing in the joy of each other's success. So a good neighbor, and again, some of this is, he's defining his own terms and using that for his own benefit here. He's saying good friends don't necessarily do good deeds for each other, they just talk. Good neighbors go now and do good deeds. Okay, good friends can do good deeds too, so I'm not fully buying into that. But for the point now in terms of methodology, you have more opportunities to do good. They're going to knock on your door. They're going to ask you to borrow something. You're going to go and you're going to help them, etc. Fine. So, and then next, considering the outcome of a deed, Rabbi Shimon recommends true gemilas chasadim, acts of kindness, such as lending money, substantial kindness. You see the consequences. Will not be reluctant to do kindness to others, as it says, etc. Go to that last paragraph on the page. Rabbi Shimon considers this a better quality than being a good neighbor because the good that neighbors do for each other, such as lending, is on a short-term basis. It's easier to do. The recipient benefits, but the object is promptly returned to the lender and he is not deprived of its use. But seeing the future gives you more than that. Again, you could critique the Maharal in terms of how he's building off one of another. You could say, is that really so limited in your explanation? But for now, my point is just to give you a glimpse as to how a commentator says that I'm going to build one off the other. I'm going to say that this one is better than the next. This one is better than the next. This one is better than the next. And that's the methodology that the Maharal uses. I want to take the last 10 minutes or so and do the last page that we have here. Page 4. It should be page 4 on your sheet. Okay? Top right should say 4. Here's how we're going to end this this discussion. So, what we want to know is what's the difference between the first answer and the last answer. Ayin Tov is a good eye. Lev Tov is a good heart. And there's somewhat of an overlap. Having a good eye is I'm looking, I'm seeing, I want good for other people. Having a good heart also, I want good for other people, I want to do good. So let's try to pinpoint what the difference is between these are. If you look at source number 1 here in the Teferis Yisrael, I think it's a powerful source. I think somebody said this a few weeks ago, and I told you to hold off. So if it was you, good job. You could stand up if you remember. So the Teferis Yisrael says as follows. Lev Tov, Shalibo Tamid Sameach Umezuman Lehetiv Lakol. What does it mean to have a good heart? That your heart is happy and ready to do good for everybody. And through this happiness, it's going to help you actually think better. Which is a very, if I'm translating what he's saying correctly, which is a very powerful point. And there's some research recently that has to do with this. A researcher by the name of Barbara Fredrickson has a concept called the broaden and build model of emotions, where she says that happy emotions, when you're happy, when you're in a good mood, you actually think better. You think more creatively. And we could all associate with that. When you're in a bad mood, your mind is more narrowed. You're not necessarily problem solving. You're just focusing on the problem. When you're in a good mood, now you can think more creatively. So that's an interesting connection here. He says, chaver lev tov, because I'm always happy for my other, for my friend, and that affects my intellect. I can now think better. It's a pretty interesting connection. But now, here's for our more important points for now. Venerally the lev tov hu mitzad haguf. What does it mean to have a good heart? That's in terms of the body. Shehisragel kach ad shenase lo leteva sheni. You make it in terms of second nature. I have a good heart. Masha ein kein ayin tova. Why is a good eye different? Hainu shemisnahig b'midos atobos mikoach haseichel. It's not ingrained into you. When you have a good eye, your intellect, your brain is telling you, I should like that person. I should be good for that person. I should want good for that person. And I'm going to actively struggle that I really want that good for that person. But I don't feel it inside. Inside, I don't want what's good for that person. Inside, I really want what's good for me. So having an ayin tova is that even though inside you don't feel it, you're going to try as hard to want to have good for the other person. But lev tov is better. Why is lev tov better? Because it's internal. You've worked on it that now you actively inside, in your guts, you want good for that person. You really want it. Right, so we're not within the Abarbanel, right? So we're good. Somewhat connected? Or are you? Well, hold off for a second. Let's finish this. Machma shirak al yedei aseichel yachriach yitzro eino osa hatov b'simcha v'ashlama karoi. You're right. This is not like the Abarbanel, right? This is the opposite, right? The ayin tova is that I'm intellectually thinking good for the person, but I don't feel it inside. Lev tov is that I've internalized it. I really want what's good for the other person. I think this is just a good model for, in general, when we talk about character, is this a character trait that I'm working on and that even though I don't feel it internally, I'm still going to work on it? Or have I worked so hard, and maybe I'll never get there, I don't know, but I've worked so hard that hopefully at some point it becomes internal. Maybe some of that is how you're born, etc. But yeah, but it becomes second nature. Good. That's the Tiferes Yisrael's distinction between the two. Let's do, we still have a few more minutes, let's do two more. Number two here, the Pisrei Ka. I know it's called. I'm okay, but I see everybody's getting their coats on. Five more minutes. Okay, you can suffer for five more minutes. Or you can turn it off. If you want to turn it off, turn it off. Do it for them. Okay. I'll survive. Okay, so I usually like it cold, but this is I can see it getting uncomfortable for people. So Pisrei Ka says as follows. I think it's another good paradigm to look at these distinctions through. So he says that somebody mentioned this also a few weeks ago, that when it comes to the lave and the ayin, so what's the difference between the ayin and the lave? So the heart, the eye sees, and the heart desires, heart wants. So he says here, let's read it inside here. Im kein ha'ayin hi harishona b'maisa achet. When it comes to sinning, it's the eye that's first on the line. Sha'ayin ro'eh v'acharel lev chomid. Your eye sees it, then your heart desires it. Rabbi Eliezer, who's our first guy who says, good eye, sabar leilech achar haschala. What should you try to fix? The beginning. Shem yikadesh einav yisara miros berah mimele lo yelev chomid. So let's start with the first part. The first part is if your eyes see, then your heart desires. So I want a good path for you to be able to fix your midos. What should you do? Fix your eyes, because if your eyes don't see it, your heart's not going to desire. Right? It's like primary prevention. See it, and you know, stop it before it even gets anywhere close to being a problem. All right, so it's a little bit, yeah. You could quote different ways, but he's going with this way. I hear that. Rabbi Lazar, who says, good heart, sover shagmar hua ikr. Kein amalach anikris el al shem gomer. What's more important? The end game. V'yesh maila belev tov. It's better to have a good heart. Work on a good heart. Sh'afim eno ra'a. Even if you have a bad eye, even if you see something you shouldn't be seeing, mikom makom yinatzeach yitzra ayidei libo hatov eno chomed. You're going to want to, you can still fight that battle. This is just an interesting idea, and this is very relevant to lots of struggles that we have. Do I try to stop it from even occurring completely? Right, so I'll just give a mundane example. Let's go with desserts, right? So do I bring the dessert into my house, right? Or do I not look at it, right? So here's the desire. So here's the debate. The ayin tova is saying to work on ayin tova means don't look at this dessert. Don't bring it into your house. The lev tova is saying no. Bring it into your house and then conquer it. Conquer yourself, not conquer the dessert. Conquer yourself not to eat the dessert. So this is two methods as to what's better, how to work, what's the best way to work on something. Either stop it from happening altogether in the beginning, or work on yourself, and you can see the benefit of late. So you say, obviously, so don't bring it into your house. That's nice, but let's say I go to shul and there's a kiddush. Okay, don't go to the kiddush. Let's say somebody drops a piece of cake in front of me, right? So if it's all about the ayin, if it's all about I can't see it, the second I see it, I'm going to lose, right? If it's about even if I see it, I'm going to be able to conquer it. It's harder, but maybe I'll have more. I'm not giving a psak on this, but according to this, he's saying that, remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at least thinks that it's better to work on the late.
Now, the nisoyon. If you bring it in, it's a nisoyon.
Right, so that would be relevant here too. So the last source.
Explanations of Ayin Tova have nothing to do with don't look at things you don't want.
Right, so remember, there's dozens more of explanations. So this is all within him, his explanation. Okay, last source here is source number 3, the Chazon Ish. Is a good way to end. So the Chazon Ish in is Sefer Emunah V'Bitachon. This is an English translation, and as we'll see, they made a pretty gigantic. They made a decent mistake here, but we'll see if you can catch it. But the Chazon Ish explains the Mishnah as follows. What's going on here? What's he asking them? What are they answering? So he says here, this is an English translation, everyone agrees that a good heart is the good trait, which includes all the good traits that unite and become one complete whole. Right? So he's saying, especially if you go with the Rambam, that Lev Tov means it's everything. It's your source of good traits. So then how can you give another answer? Of course the answer should be Lev Tov. So what are the other students saying and not saying Lev Tov? So he says, you misunderstood us. I think Dr. Panzer referred to this last week. You misunderstood the whole question here. The discussion is about the active means by which one can acquire a good heart. And telling a person to go out and acquire a good heart doesn't teach him anything about the means to achieve the desired goal. So the question isn't what's the best. And I think Rabbi Shloni also mentioned, it's what's the derech yishara? What's the path to get there? So everybody agrees the destination is a lev tov, because that's the source of all character. The question is what's the path to get there? So, continuing here, since the diseases of the spirit vary according to the variations of human nature, the sages were provided with varying natures, each sage possessing personal and unique talents. So it's personal, it has to do with me. And so, the many therapies and ways of the various sages in accordance with the wisdom of each one of them. So they're all giving an answer based on their own character. I think somebody's mentioned that in the past too. Enable every person to find treatments for his bad traits. When the sages talked about the straight way that a person should choose, it was not a discussion aimed at reaching a dry verdict, do this. But rather its intention was to diagnose the disease correctly and provide the proper remedy for it. This is the starting point, according to which the sage should lay out the ways to perfect one's morals, set a study program, arrange its chapters, and present it to the public for study and review so that they can review it constantly until they are cured. It's not they're not giving one answer. What are they doing? They're giving you a methodology. They want to give you a way to fix everything. Each one of these sages found in himself the capability of helping people perfect their traits in a different way. He felt obligated to construct a system of moral teachings, etc., etc., etc. Go to the next column here. Rabbi Lazar, here's the mistake, if you can catch it. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah found himself to be the one destined to appeal to the people with a pledge. So it's not Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. It was Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch. So the translator made a mistake here. Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch, who's the one who said good heart, found himself to the core destined to appeal to the people with a pledge to acquire a good heart. This saying is a transmission of an entire school of thought to the people to mend the heart, to enthuse the heart, so that they should search for the light of truth, to love eternal life, and set aside the earthly temporary life to approach a single good trait, which includes all good traits, without needing to break it down into parts. So basically what the Machlokas, just to sum up, and you could read what we skipped, it might give you a better big picture here, but to sum up the Chazon Ish says, the disagreement here is not what's best. Everybody agrees the best is Lev Tov. Having a good character at its core is what the goal is. The question is how to get there. Some people say, what do you have to do? You got to go for that head on. Just go for the Lev Tov. Reach for the stars. Just try to incorporate that. The other ones seem to be saying, you can't just jump to that. You got to start somewhere. I got to give you a path. How do you want to have a good heart? How do you incorporate a good heart? start being a good friend. Start having good friends. How do I have a good heart? Start being a good neighbor. Start surrounding yourself with good neighbors. That's how I eventually get to have a good heart. So it's not about what the goal is. Everybody agrees the goal. It's about how to get to that goal. We gotta shut down. I think that they're kicking us out. What? Two more minutes. Yeah. Oh, we have to bench it.
Right.
So according to the Chazon Ish, is inherent in the question. That this is the way to get to... What's the way to get to a Lev Tov? So it's either you go straight for the Lev Tov, or you need a path to get to the Lev Tov. You could have asked it differently, I hear you, but... all right, we got to stop because we have to bench and we have to clean up for their program. Thank you, guys, and hopefully we'll see you guys... Oh, time out.
What?
Time out. Next week, there is no class. Next week is the psychology... My topic next week at Midrashat Yom Rishon is the psychology of Chesed. Should be good.
After we bench, everyone...